When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the WWE Raw Post Show here on Fightful. It is myself, Denise Salcedo, and today I am joined by Kate Hensler. Kate, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to get to stream with you. There's unfortunate circumstances around it, but I'm always happy when I get to jump on with you. I'm so excited to do tonight's show, and Sean's been very public about it. He's out for personal reasons. Had a passing in the family. So just want to wish him our best, of course, at the top of this show, but excited to get into what we have to talk about with Raw and the draft episode tonight.
Exactly. Sending lots of love to Sean and his family. And we are going to go ahead and segue right into what went down today on Raw. And Kate, you and I were kind of talking about this like before we went on the air of like, okay, how do we want to cover the draft, right? Because of course we had way more rounds than we did on SmackDown. And there were some things that were interesting, definitely far more interesting than what went down on Friday. But at the same time, I got to tell you, I thought this was a very tame draft. Like, I was expecting just a lot more sizzle and bang. And I think coming off of Friday, I lost a little bit of my excitement heading into night two of the draft. And then just when I started to get it back a little bit, it sort of, I don't know, by the end of it, there were some good picks that I really did like, but I felt like it was a little bit of a strange sort of format for today.
Yeah, it was a little bit off. Now, last year, I felt like it was a little bit riskier of a draft, and it was also a mess. We saw people immediately switching brands. The free agent thing never paid off. So I'm kind of glad that they went safer and a little bit more logical in that sense. But it did feel like all of the major players, for the most part, stayed on their respective brands. So kind of felt like we could have just done more of like a trade storyline situation, or just done NXT call-ups and sent a couple people over to whichever brands that they needed to be on. I do think kind of the big thing that has been winners is I think Nia and Shinsuke Nakamura both switching brands is a very good thing for both of them, because both of them were made to feel very important, but a lot of times they've been taking big losses in really key situations. Now, high quality losses to top talent, but that just makes you a high quality loser on that brand. So hopefully we can kind of switch it up and get a new slate of competitors for Nia and Shinsuke. I think those are two really good moves, but doesn't feel like we had to go through a whole draft process for this. And it also is just kind of awkward to do this right as we're going home to Backlash too. It's like you're in mid storyline with literal Backlash from what we got at WrestleMania. So that didn't seem like the best timing either. It feels like they were kind of handcuffed in that regard. But the big thing is like pretty much any of the marquee talent is staying on the brands that they were on, with a few minor exceptions.
There were a few minor exceptions. Like you mentioned them. I think on Friday, there was just like maybe there was a handful. And I mean a handful of changes of people who actually crossed over. And everybody was talking about it right on social media. People were like, what the hell? Like pretty much everybody's on the exact same brand. And it was even something that I noticed when I was watching SmackDown's draft. I noticed that even commentary kind of kept stepping over themselves because they kept wanting to say like, oh, this person's going to this brand. But then they would correct themselves because they would realize, oh, that person technically was already on this brand. And so then we go into today's show, and there were because there were more rounds, we did get to see a lot more names switch brands. But even then, the brands are still pretty identical. But I'm looking at it, and I kind of did a thing where I put them side by side to sort of see what brand is looking stronger. So Kate, like when you think about all of the names that were announced, and of course, like you mentioned, the champions stay as is, what brand to you is looking stronger right now?
I mean, that's kind of tough to say because it does feel like everybody stayed the same. So it's tricky. Like, I feel like when I look at Raw, I see that they just picked up Damage Control, which is really great for them. They keep Drew McIntyre. They keep CM Punk. They keep Main Event Jey Uso. They have Sami Zayn there most of the time. So it does kind of feel like Raw has a little bit more importance. Women's division-wise, I think maybe SmackDown has the edge there a little bit. So it kind of depends on what your flavor is, what you're watching for. But Damage Control coming over to Raw, I feel like was a big one that they kind of needed. I think that was a good talent infusion for the women's division that was kind of necessary. But you look at SmackDown, Naomi, she stayed. You got Jade staying. You got Bianca staying. You've got Becky staying on Raw, right? Because she's your champ there. Tiffy staying. So the call-ups, I think, from NXT are, might be the most refresh here, what we get with Lyra, what we get with Blair Davenport. But I don't know. I feel like it's hard to say that one brand is overwhelmingly stronger than the other because it hasn't changed my disposition since beforehand.
Right. I was going to say, the scale is not completely tipped where you're looking at it and you're going, oh, well, this brand completely dominated. But you're right, though. The first thing that I noticed was at one point I was keeping track of all of the draft picks, right? And at one point I'm thinking, oh, my God, Raw has like hardly no women that they have drafted. And their numbers in difference to the SmackDown women's roster. The SmackDown women's roster, in my opinion, that's the one to keep an eye out because you got all of these people that you're really excited about. Because I know I'm really excited about Tiffany Stratton. I'm excited about, you know, getting to see Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill remain on the same brand. I was very happy about that. But I could not help but to notice how much more interested I was in the SmackDown women's roster than the women's, than the Raw side of things. However, there were three female NXT call-ups, which were Blair, Kiana, and Lyra. And two of them ended up going to Raw with one of them going over to SmackDown. So I was thinking like, oh, are they taking this like newer approach of getting the newer faces for the women on Raw instead of SmackDown? Of course, it's really only 2-1, so it's not that many. But that's what I was thinking about before they even drafted Blair to SmackDown. I was thinking, oh, maybe Raw is going to be the place where you see more of these newer girls. Because I feel like for once, like it was kind of, there was a lot of people that we didn't really get to see used over on SmackDown for the women. And so, I don't know, I kind of felt like we were turning the tables there. But I guess depending on the remaining names that are going to be announced on social media, I hope that these balance out very nicely. But I almost think they could have done like way more NXT call-ups. Like, I feel like they could have done more, especially for the women's, because they really need they need more depth in the roster.
Yeah, I think you could have seen JC Jane and Gigi Dolin both go up. Blair's a really good call. She's one, if you're not going to belt her, pull her up. Same with Kiana James. Lyra, I felt like she's incredible in the ring. I really like a lot of her stuff, and her character was coming along. I feel like she probably could have used maybe a little bit longer, but at the same time, she was a champion there. She's been established there. They know the timing of their call-ups better than I do, but the other thing about these women's divisions, Denise, is even though Damage Control is coming over to Raw and that feels like such an infusion, kind of feels like they're about to lose those tag titles, right? So even the importance of it feels like a little lost. I would like to see them maybe as these kind of compensatory picks roll in. I hope that like you get Alba Fire and Isla Dawn going over there maybe, or some tag teams that were being underutilized, because that tag division, that's two WrestleManias in a row that those women's tag belts have not been defended. I loved that we got the six-woman match this year. I thought it was an awesome way to get some powerhouse talent together. Let's get this tag division on track, and let's maybe get some of that importance onto the Raw brand. I think that'll help a lot.
So you mentioned that Lyra. I want to take a second and talk about that, because you mentioned Lyra was one of the names that you didn't expect to see, because, you know, she still has a lot that she can do, right? That's sort of how I felt about Blair. That's how I felt about Kiana. But Lyra was actually one of my predictions for the women that would end up getting called up. And the reason for that is, like, she literally came in and has skyrocketed through NXT. I mean, one second you're like, oh, who's this girl? The next she's going out there having matches with everybody and they're looking really good. Next thing you know, she's in the title picture. Then she's champion and she's out there on these big shows like Stand and Deliver, and she's doing media day and all of this. So I feel like, given what I've seen from Lyra on NXT, I felt like she was perfect to go to the main roster, where she's already got she's already got the skill and she's got like a pretty decent character. I do think that they need to tweak some things, but I'm such a big fan of Lyra's that I was so happy when she got called up. And it was interesting too, because when she got called up, I actually, for some reason, caught Blair in the background. And I started to think like, oh man, you know, sometimes I do feel bad for certain people that might think like, oh, is their moment going to happen? And for some reason, I thought about it with Blair and I'm like, I wonder what Blair's thinking about. And then fast forward to the end of the show, she ends up getting called up. And I was like, oh my God, it was just like a little thing that I picked up on, where I was like, oh, I wonder what Blair's thinking about. And then next thing you know, she ended up having her moment. And so it was this thing of like, watching everybody get called up, it was sort of emotional, you know, seeing everybody get their moment. It was very sweet.
I love that they let you have authentic reactions from the PC. I think that's so fun that they genuinely don't know. Corey Brennan is going to have more on his Q&A show tomorrow, by the way. I'll also be on our NXT review show to talk about it there as well. I see the chat lighting up that Dijak's been drafted to Raw. That also warms my heart. I'm a huge Dijak fan. Ratio, ratio, ratio. I support this guy. Very, very happy to hear that he is back on the Red Brand.
I'm going to pull up to see who they've drafted so far right now. Sure. Are they putting it up right now on WWE.com? I'm sure they usually do. So I'll be keeping an eye out here. But you're saying that Dijak got drafted. Dude, he's like one of the persons that when they went over to NXT, he was one of those people that actually came out on top by going down to NXT. You know what I'm saying?
He has been invaluable on the NXT brand as someone that covers that show and has mixed feelings about their creative, to put it nicely. Sometimes that creative is like the Wild West, which is not always for me. I like clean, logical booking. But Dijak has been invaluable to that brand. He has been kind of, as much as everybody talks about the final boss in wrestling, he kind of is. He's that guy that has you title picture adjacent, and does a lot of really incredible work. He really shines in stipulation matches, I've noticed. He has an incredible ring psychology, and you always see it come out in stipulation matches, or even just matches that have time to develop. Him and Ilya Dragunov, who we saw go up today, had one of the best last man standing matches I've ever seen, period, in my life. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Can't say enough about how valuable he is. And his physicality is so much fun, too. He could be somebody's heavy. He could stand out on his own. There's so many things that this guy is capable of. But his wrestling mind combined with his physicality is something that makes me really excited to see what a refreshed Dijak can do on the main roster. Not in a weird mask, being himself, being the action star we know he can be. So very, very excited nonsense for that guy. Very, very.
Yes. And he's doing so good with social media too. All of this stuff. It's all working out very nicely. But
if you worry Sean, I'm in. Like, and he did. He talked about Sean taking losses in his indie career. I'm in. But he's great. He really is such a fun presence on social media. He really kind of offsets his character with how he behaves on social a lot. It's a lot of fun. And he's just been doing incredible work. So if anybody deserves it, it's that guy.
Let's get into some of these super chats. Of course, you guys can send them in. Let us know what your thoughts were on the draft, what your thoughts were on Raw, and we'll dive right into this. I want to kick it off with Meet Normus here, who says, "Sup, Potnas, let's crank. This draft has been two packs of ass. It could have been done in an email. We could, I don't know, have more wrestling on the show." See, like, that's the thing, though. Like, I've started to get on board with the idea that a lot of people have been mentioning that the draft should be its own show. And I almost feel like it should be, because I'm going to be real with you. When I tuned in to both nights of the draft, I kept thinking like, oh, I don't really want to see this. I want to see another round of the draft. Because when you're talking about the draft, that's sort of all you want to see.
Well, I agree with that. I'm assuming one pack of ass was on Friday and tonight was the second pack of ass. So thank you, Meatnormous, for that chat. But it's just also hard because they actually did a better job this year of the draft having implications and stories, but you just can't really move forward with anything because we know we're going to be getting a reset button on May 6th, right? So you can't really develop anything within these shows. It almost feels like have a draft episode, make it go into effect immediately, and yes, then go from there because you can't build anything with strong implications because it's all going to be erased in a week. So I actually thought they did a better job this year of the draft stories playing into creative, but overall, it's just a tough framework when you have three brands that are being drafted to and an expiration date, essentially, on who your rosters are.
I hate to say this because this happens every time. I think even last year we had a longer time between when the draft ended and when it actually took effect. And this time it's a shorter time period, but I'm pretty positive last year was longer. But it's like by the time that it's in effect, I'm going to have to go back and look at this list and be like, who the hell's on what show? Because yeah, I'm not going to remember. I might remember a key few people, but there's going to be some people where I'm like, I have no idea what they're on. So I'm just going to assume everyone's on their same brand since not very many
you're gonna
people.
Have, like, a 90% hit rate with that, like, yeah, that's pretty good. But there was a longer time last year. What I do like is it seems like we're clearing through backlash and then they go into effect right away, right? So you, yes, are cleaning up these stories, you don't have a ton of lag time, but it is very confusing. And last year was extremely confusing because everybody was just showing up anywhere anyway. They had redrafted both brands and then they introduced a title and everybody on SmackDown was in the bracket for the Raw title, if you remember last year. Made no sense. This was a much cleaner, though very tame draft, for sure.
We got Jana here who says, with Raw drafting a couple of women from NXT, it seems like they're going to try to develop Raw women's into big stars as opposed to SmackDown, which is stacked with star power as is. You know, it's very interesting because on Raw, when you look at the roster on Raw for the women, obviously you have your champion, Becky Lynch, and you have the Kabuki Warriors who are going to be there, as well as Damage Control. But then everybody else from the women are, you know, it's Lyra, it's Kiana, and it's Liv. You don't really have, like, you have girls that are just starting out, then you have Liv, and then you have your champion, essentially. So it seems like there needs to be more, sort of more in between the gaps. Like, I feel like there's a lot more sort of missing. I'm almost feeling like people disappeared. I'm like, where are all these people that were once on the show? Where did they go?
Some are in tag teams, right? Like, that is a piece of it. When you have a tag team division, that, I don't want to say deplete your roster, but it reallocates a lot of that talent, right? Your Candice LeRae's, your Indy Hartwell's of the world, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark. Where have they been, by the way? So I agree with you. There does seem to be a gap between, we just pulled up a lot of these new talent and we have our seasoned veterans, but that kind of middle ground almost exclusively belongs to Liv, and Liv is kind of at the top of that middle ground. She's already a former champion. She's improved so much. I love to see that. So it is kind of like those people that are normally on the cusp that you would be getting heated up. There does seem to be a void that is there. And the people that they called up from NXT to the Raw brand, like, I think you're going to see some time for those women to acclimate, especially. So if you had called up Roxanne, you didn't because she has the title right now, but she's someone that I would be like, I think she's got every aspect of it and is ready to go. I think you're going to need some character development with Lyra. I think you're going to need to show people who Kiana James is before you're heating them up into a title picture.
So, by the way, it was weird because obviously we knew that the Raw and the SmackDown champions, they were protected. They never really made it clear if the NXT champions were protected, did they? Because Booker T, when he did a backstage interview, he was like, oh, next up could be Trick Williams. Next up could be Roxanne Perez. And I was like, wait a minute, what? They're champions. So I don't think, did they ever actually make it clear?
I don't think they necessarily announced it, but I also don't think Booker T knew what was going on, to be honest. Like, he was like, I can't wait to see what happens with CM Punk, and CM Punk was already drafted. Like, I don't think Booker T.
And we got two backstage interviews with Booker, too. That's what I was thinking about, too. I was thinking about this, Kate, from, like, a, I don't know, like a production standpoint, because it was kind of weird the way that they had, because the whole, you could tell that the whole idea was for Kathy to catch Adam Pearce as he was walking out so that they could do their portion of the interview. But they had already done an interview with Booker T earlier in the day. And that whole point was for him to have that little moment with Drew McIntyre, right? And then they did another one with Booker T, and I'm thinking, do we really need two backstage interviews with Booker T? And he said nothing. In fact, he kind of confused me again with the championship thing. And then I was like, okay. And so it felt weird. And I'm like, is there nobody else back there that they could have, you know, came up with some sort of an idea just to get to the point of Kathy Kelly chasing down Adam Pearce?
It was, and it really felt like they were trying to set up with that interaction with Drew about like having heat with CM Punk. And I was like, that was not so necessary. Like, we did not have to go and do that. So I'm with you. It would have been nice to have some maybe fresh faces in the mix on those segments.
I think so too. We got Jacob L here who sent in a Humper Chat saying, so with the draft, I see people are really disappointed in it. Do you all think people would feel better if it was called a shakeup? My opinion, the way they did it, you can still keep fresh matchups. Enjoy all's work. Opinions are nice.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keep it up. Thank you so much, Jacob. I think part of the reason why people were disappointed in the draft was because it took a lot of the excitement. You took a lot of the excitement out with the champions being taken away, Roman Reigns being taken away, certain people. It was interesting because some people that were injured still got drafted, and then other people that are injured did not get drafted. So it's like, okay, there almost didn't seem to be a rule across the board. Same thing with Imperium, where they had Giovanni Vinci drafted separately, but with the LWO, they had Carlito drafted with him. And I'm like, these rules don't seem to apply across the board. It's sort of like everyone has a different set of rules here. And so I think people are willing to follow the rules if the rules make sense and the rules are clear and apply to everybody. But I think that was an issue on top of it. And I think that people, again, tune into the draft because they want to be surprised. And I put out a question asking people on social media, what was the most surprising thing from the draft? And mostly everybody said the NXT call-ups. And that was honestly it. And two of them you pretty much already knew, and which was Carmelo Hayes. We were all expecting it. He's already been wrestling on SmackDown, was drafted to SmackDown. Ilya wrestled on Raw after Mania and said he was going to be part of the draft and got drafted to Monday Night Raw. So there really only were, there were very few surprises, and people like surprises.
Yeah, and on top of that, Denise, I kind of like the champions being ineligible because we have so many new ones. Like, between Mania and now, we have almost entirely a fresh new slate of champions. There's so much. So that almost feels like they've already done that in a way. There was also just, like, frustrations to me of you went through weeks of storylines of Bron Breakker and Jade Cargill being drafted to specific brands.
Literally.
And Bron Breakker just immediately gets thrown back the other way with no fight, right? And Jade ends up on her own brand, and it's like, well, I would think and hope so. Oh my goodness. Like, there was stories about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. Her entire debut was her getting out of cars at different brands and talking to different GMs. That was like weeks of her life. So there are some things that needed to be cleaned up. I will say, I will take a boring normal draft over what we got last year. And as far as the shakeup aspect of it, if you remember the superstar shakeup, they had that wild card rule where it was like 10 superstars can work both brands, but they can only work both brands 3 times a week, and they have to end in a vowel. Like, it was just nuts. Like, it was too much. I'm glad this was simple. I hope that we don't get a ton of crossover between brands, because it always makes it so null and void to me. But for this draft to be interesting, you only had to do one or two things, and I think it would have been just this one huge name goes to one brand. That just didn't happen. Like, nobody's like Punk, Drew, Jade, Bianca, everybody kind of stayed like the same. And so you didn't even have most of it was boring, but can you believe X switched? Like, that just didn't happen. And there were also no trades this year. There was nobody like, there was no Adam Pearce being like, I can't believe I lost that guy. Like, or Nick Aldis saying, I courted Bron Breakker for weeks and he just goes to Raw. I have to trade to get that guy back or anything. So not a ton of excitement there, but the weeks of storyline around certain people just being eligible for the draft was kind of silly to me.
It's kind of, okay, so you were talking about like sort of certain people and like big names. Honestly, the one that I had the biggest reaction to in terms of how they were separated technically was Legado del Fantasma and LWO. I'm like, oh man, they're putting them on different brands. Like, that was honestly the most surprising thing, and it really wasn't even that surprising. And truth be told, I was surprised by that, only because I'm like, God, this has been like a story that's been going on for like a year now with these guys. And technically it shifted, right? It shifted, but there still is a little bit of unfinished business there with the LWO and Legado. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh, well, now we got to speed through this and end this whole like feud that they have going by Backlash. And then clearly with the fact that they drafted Carlito with them, that's going to carry through. But it just feels like, I don't know, it feels a little bit weird that they separated both of those groups.
Oh, I was kind of like, thank goodness, because I feel
I am
like
too, but I was surprised. Yeah, I was
we've
surprised.
Seen them fight so many times. They're clearly leaning into Dominic and Ray again. So there's something immediate for them to jump into, which is good. But I agree with you. The pacing of it's just a little bit weird, but I am so excited to see them fight other people. It has been a long time coming.
There's been a lot of people where I'm like, thank God. I was actually happy to see Shinsuke Nakamura get drafted to SmackDown because I think he needed a big time refresh, hit the refresh button on him. All right, let's keep it going. We got Vic here who says, I love even more focus on NXT and future drafts. Lean into the pro sports feel. Spotlight young, hungry players hoping to get the call. Move established names in big money trades during the year. That is something that I've always wanted. Like, you know, Vic here mentions putting more of an emphasis on the NXT talent. One of the things that I've always wanted to see in the draft is more like analytics and stats, right? Like, I want to be like, hey, Lyra Valkyria, former NXT champion, she had X amount of wins. Kiana James had X amount of wins. These are top prospects that we're expecting to see get drafted. And things like that, I think, would sort of make it just a little bit interesting. And, you know, WWE, they have so much programming, like they could literally do this anywhere, but I feel like they could at least show hints of that on the actual broadcast.
The problem with that to me is I feel like a lot of times in NXT, wins and losses aren't what determines whether you're important.
No, it doesn't.
Screen time. So if you're like, lie Kiana James, though. I don't think has a good
lie
record.
To me. Just lie to me.
They do that all the time.
Just give me some fake numbers and be like, oh, she's got a 70%. I'll take fake numbers, Kay, at this point.
I will I take logical like, booking over that. Just, that would be my preference, but okay.
You know, like, I just feel like they have to make you, like, you really think about it, you know, like, strategize. I want to think, like, okay, like, who would I honestly want from this brand? Like, give me a reason, right? Sure. It's like, for example, you have Blair, you have Kiana, and you have Lyra. Okay, I understand Lyra. Why? Because she was a former NXT Women's Champion. We haven't seen that yet from Kiana. We haven't seen that from Blair. Okay, cool. So then why would you pick them over, for example, I don't know, Roxanne Perez?
Sure.
Like, little things like that is things that I would like incorporated into the show, like to, I'm asking for too much though. I really am asking for too much.
The thing is, you're not.
I feel like I am, honestly. We got Ryan Sully here who says, really happy for all the NXT call-ups. Their emotions added a lot to the draft. Do you think there will be some call-ups later on this year? If so, who do you see coming up? Cheers, Denise and Kate. I would hope there would be a few more. Honestly, I mean, we're still barely not even halfway through the year.
Sure. I'm hysterically, like, it is comical how bad I am with predictions of NXT call-ups. And how, like, I had Bron Breakker going up a year ago. Like, I am very, very off. I would be surprised if you didn't see Roxanne lose and get called up. I would be surprised if you didn't see Trick Williams lose and get called up. Obafemi, it's whatever they want to do with him. Sky is the limit for that guy, in my opinion. Gigi and JJ are ready, man. It's just a matter of when they feel like it. I kind of felt that way about Blair. I'm like, she's main roster ready, but I could also see her being here for another year. Like, there's some who have these more evergreen talents rather than I need them to develop X, Y, and Z. So I do think that's probably the measuring stick for Gigi and JJ.
Well, we were also talking about Roxanne Perez just now. We got a couple of super chats on that. We got one here from Sheldon Jackson who says, so SmackDown gets Leon France. So SmackDown gets Leon France. Meanwhile, Raw gets Hartford, Connecticut next week. Send me to Team Blue just for the opportunity to have a televised match in a different countries, not on PLEs. Hey, man, you get to travel the world. I don't blame you. Nicholas 763 says, while she is an NXT Women's Champion, I feel a little bad for Roxanne. She's been in NXT for a while and didn't get drafted, but I think they're saving Roxanne versus Julia. Here's the reason why I don't feel bad that Roxanne hasn't been drafted, because you look at a lot of the other girls, they're a little bit older, right? And Roxanne, she's very accomplished, but we forget how young she is. So with that being said, I feel like there's less of a rush to get her to that level again because she is so young.
She is, what, 22, I think? So, yeah, she's got a long time to go. I also think with Roxanne, she's going to be a tentpole talent there for a little bit. You don't want to completely deplete your brand in NXT, right? You need to have some talent there that's going to make that brand solid and watchable and something to tune into every week. I do think she probably gets called up SummerSlam-ish. I think she'll have a title run. She'll get the title run that she's owed from the first time around, and they'll probably call her up shortly after. And you also have to consider, too, you don't want people going up there with no direction. You want them to walk into a story. I think Roxanne Perez is a future WrestleMania main eventer. I believe that in my soul. So I don't want her to get called up with no direction. I don't want her to be a serviceable talent up there. I want her called up with something extremely vivid. She also just turned heel not that long ago. So let her settle into what that looks like for a little bit. It's a piece of the action too, for sure.
I second that. We got Meet Normus here who says, does Booker T even know what is going on? He's more confused than R-Truth, but at least Truth stole Prince Nana's weed. My God. Meet Normus out here coming out with some funny ones here. Let's continue on. We got way more super chats. This one's from Caden Lee of the Performance Center who says, SmackDown's men's singles division kind of in rough shape. No clear contender for Cody under the age of 39 and a heel-dominated mid-card needed a Gunther. So you know what? Let me see. If you're looking at the SmackDown card here, I mean the roster, who is somebody that you would see going up against Cody? It's Randy, LA Knight, AJ Styles, possibly Andrade. Oh, God, they're probably going to do Baron Corbin. You got Kevin Owens, Shinsuke, which we've seen. Oh, God, don't do that again. Oh, there Bobby really Lashley. Isn't that many. Bobby Lashley, there Lashley really isn't space, that many options.
You could snap him in there. I think Lashley and Cody would actually be a really fun program. Yeah, Kevin Owens is as evergreen as they come. You could do Santos Escobar versus Cody in a second. Like, just because there's trios and tag teams doesn't mean you can't snipe one of them off, especially the trios, because there's not a trios division, right? But yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that they have to do. You think Bron Breakker would have been, like, a shoo-in for something like that? Still feels like the move is to have Gunther defeat Cody. Like, that just feels like the right next move with the trajectory he's in. We did some math behind the paywall the other day, and like 80% of Gunther's time in WWE, he's been a champion, whether it's been in NXT or on the main roster. That's an insane statistic. I mean, that's over 1,000 days. Absolutely unbelievable. So it feels like he should be leveling up in that way to me. But we'll see. I think Kevin Owens is probably a good call. He's someone that can play tweener and face Cody just fine.
That's true. And people will be interested in that. So that's a good one.
Oh, right, Carmelo, too. I mean, they had him lose the other day, but like they'll circle back to him with a real build, I think.
We got Alvin Everett here who says Rod needs its stars to make up for Cody and injury. So yeah, we got a couple of people we're going to have to wait on there for a second. Yeah. Alvin also says Raw has a women's division, Becky, Liv, Io, Kairi, Dakota, Lyra, Kiana, Zelina, and Rhea. Again, Rhea, technically we still don't know which brand Rhea is going to be on. So you She's technically don't know yet.
She's got to come back for Liv, I think, at the end of the day, right?
They have to, because at some point that story needs to be completed. They really, really do.
The revenge tour needs to get her revenge.
As of right now, we don't know where Rhea is going to end up officially. Yeah. All right. So I want to go ahead and let's see. We got some more draft super chats here. This is from The Line Drive, who says, as someone who is a big fan of NXT UK, tonight has been a big victory lap for me as a fan. That investment for WWE has been remarkable here for Ilya and Lyra. I love that, man. I feel like excited when you see people's journey from the very beginning to where they get to. I feel like it makes you more invested in the person, like you're rooting for them, you know?
Something that is probably the most rewarding thing for me watching every Tuesday night is when you see the growth of talent. Tiffany Stratton was like stratospheric in the way that she grew, and you saw it come together. Trick Williams feels like he flipped the switch overnight. Carmella was great and then became excellent. You get to see these really cool trajectories, and these moments do feel rewarding as a fan. Something that Alex Pulaski came up with forever ago, but we all forgot because he got drafted last year and hasn't been used, is Odyssey Jones. And the idea of a Carmelo-Odyssey Jones pairing has me salivating. I would absolutely love that. So I'm interested to see the people that got shuffled around and really didn't do much, the Apollo Crews of the world, what that looks like this year too.
We got The Line Drive here, who says Ilya on the same brand with Sheamus, Drew, Bronson, and Gunther. Put it in my eye holes. I agree. We got Jared here, who says feeling better about women's tag now that it seems like each show has a good number of teams and combinations. Women's mid-card title next. I don't actually think we need one right now, but that's just my opinion. Brandon Rosen here says, great to see Ilya Dragunov being called up after 5 long years on NXT. Excited to see what they can do with him. Kate, when you started seeing, because I know this is how I felt when I started seeing the new version of NXT, right? When they turned into NXT 2.0 and all of that. I felt like Ilya was one of the people that stuck out like a sore thumb in that he didn't fit in with the brand anymore. And for the longest time, it was like, oh, this dude needs to be on the main roster, needs to be on the main roster. But then, of course, we still had Vince during that time. And now that, you know, he's gone, it feels like now it's like all of the stars have aligned for someone, a competitor like Ilya Dragunov, to go to the main roster and may actually have success there.
Agreed entirely. So Ilya always felt like a very serious business wrestler, and the beginning of NXT 2.0 was so wacky and wild. He just didn't fit in on that brand. He did incredible work in NXT UK, incredible work on the indies. He did not need to develop in the way that a lot of other wrestlers need to develop in the NXT system. I think there's a really interesting opportunity to have him and Giovanni Vinci do some tag work. He just got kicked out by Gunther, right? And I think the fact that Ilya Dragunov has slayed the dragon in Gunther historically could lend itself to a really interesting story on the main roster. I think it's important. I think it's really important that these people get called up with a plan in mind, because we've seen what happens when they don't. They're just
Cameron Grimes, perfect example.
Cameron Grimes, poor dude, right? So I really think where these people are being called up into is going to be something that's extremely interesting. But Ilya, long, long, long overdue. Kind of silly he was even on NXT in the first place, to be honest.
We got Jay Stone here, who says Sheamus, Dragunov, Drew, Gunther, Dijak, Sammy, Braun, all on Raw will break the internet. They think they should continue the Becky Lyra relationship. It crossed my mind, honestly. Sure. They can do something along those lines. They either, I don't know, maybe she becomes her protege, sort of like what we saw with Trish and Zoe, but instead with Becky and Lyra. I think that would be kind of cool, because it's like they've already gone toe to toe, so you don't necessarily need to see them as foes here. Like, you can actually see them, you know, sort of maybe working together.
That's definitely a possibility. I think Liv will probably dethrone Becky, and where she goes after could be really fun. Also, we've seen nothing from Isla Dawn and Alba Fire in a very long time. They love pairing those UK girls together. That wouldn't be the worst idea. Wouldn't be the worst idea to have your Irish gal mixed in with the Scots there.
A new stable there. That could be fun.
Yeah, a little triumvirate.
Yeah, we got Brandon Rosen here who says biggest head scratcher, Final Testament drafted to Raw. Didn't they switch to NXT like 2 weeks ago? Thought they were getting a fresh start. Well, Brandon, I'm so happy you brought this up because I was going to bring this up at some point. I'm sorry, but I was like, they need to be on NXT, Kate. I'm so sorry, but it just everything that the Final Testament has done on SmackDown has been very, very dull. And so I felt like them being on NXT was like the way to go, man. I was excited to see them do something different or just not even different, but maybe even get back to what they were once on NXT. And that's what they seem to be promoting. In fact, AOP has a title shot against Axiom and Nathan Frazier for the NXT tag team titles on tomorrow. And
10 minutes from now, that day.
Literally. Yeah. Like, what the hell? And now Final Testament has been drafted to Raw. I actually thought this one was I hate to say it, but this one was a thumbs down draft pick for me. I think they should have stayed on NXT.
Karrion Kross just went to NXT and said that he was the representative of the Black and Gold era. If they're not staying on NXT, why are you having him say that? Like, it just makes no sense. He is treading Lacey Evans' waters as far as reboots. It's getting to be a lot, and it's not his fault. There has not been a creative direction that has consistently worked for him.
It's weird though, Kate, because he did have some really great opponents. He was feuding with AJ Styles. He was feuding with Rey Mysterio. He was feuding with Drew. Any other person that would have gotten all of those feuds back to back, don't you think we would be talking differently about them?
Yes, but I will say twice a lot of his feuds got messed up from Bloodline overruns, legit. Like the AJ Styles feud and Rey Mysterio, all of a sudden it was like 2 minute matches because various episodes.
But
of the
I was thankful, Kate. I was like, oh, good. I don't have to go through that this week. You know, I mean, that shouldn't be the case,
it's
right?
It's been in the mud. It's definitely been in the mud. They need to. I wish they would figure out what they want to do with him before they put it on TV because there hasn't been anything that's worked. There hasn't. And I really don't understand how you send them back to NXT. It's been very muddy in NXT to backtrack. If you don't watch NXT, the Good Brothers went down there. They talked a bunch of stuff about Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, the Wolf Dogs, and how they were going to have a title shot against them. And then they just disappeared and they never had that title shot at Stand to Deliver that they were lining up for. And then they just kind of came back after they lost it. Then you had AOP and Karrion Kross come down the Final Testament. They're challenging for these tag title shots. They were here for a cup of coffee, said the same thing, that they were going to be around for a while, and now they're not. So from what Corey has reported, there's a tremendous amount of synergy backstage between Triple H and Shawn Michaels as far as the process in which talent gets traded to brands. They need some clarity on what that creative means, because it's bad enough to do in general because you're telling different stories on different programs.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That has not established themselves on any brands like the Final Testament. You really can't be tossing them back and forth like that and expect me to find them to be a big deal. It just doesn't work. So yeah, unfortunately, and I really like AOP and they see a ton of value in Karrion Kross. I need for them to figure out how it's going to show up before they throw them into more stuff.
And it's the same thing with the OC, because I thought they were also NXT and I was like, good, have them on NXT. But now they're back to SmackDown, which is just where they were at. So
yeah, they ping have this pong whole,
back and forth.
It's like AJ Styles' ex-girlfriend or something. Like, they were like, get out of here. They're like, I'm always coming back to you, baby. Like, I don't know.
It's just like magnets, you know? They're magnets. Yeah. That's what we're having here, magnets. all right. And they're still on the same brand, FYI. For anybody who's wondering, they're still in the same brand. All right, we got to get into some other topics from Monday Night Raw, and I want to go ahead and jump into, let's start things off with the Becky Lynch promo, because this basically was this promo where she goes out there and, you know, she's talking about being champion, her history with Kansas City, and she's interrupted by Liv Morgan. They go back and forth about who should be champion, and then finally they're interrupted by Nia Jax, who actually gets this huge amount of heat. Like, she's getting some Dom Mysterio heat there, and this all leads to a match between Liv Morgan and Nia Jax, and we see Liv Morgan get the win here. But during this, we also see Naomi and Tiffany Stratton go at it on the outside, because Tiffany Stratton was watching from ringside. There were some good moments in this, man. Like, Liv Morgan went in there and there were several times where she was like smashing the head of Nia Jax onto the ring post. I was like, damn, girl, she's hitting drop kicks left and right. Again, she gets her win. But how'd you feel about this whole entire storyline that we've been seeing play out?
So I really liked that Becky reminded people today that she has not held a world title in 2 years. Like, I thought that was good because
everybody's been talking shit about her. Yeah. And I'm like, it's been 2 years. Thank you for saying that.
She had a title. So I was glad that she kind of like snuck that in there. She, of course, has done tag work, but that was also like with Lita and she was working against Trish Stratus and stuff. Right. So I really liked that she did that. I thought it was very smart of them to have her win, because I think there's a lot more value and upside in Liv Morgan beating Becky Lynch than there is winning a vacant title. I also think there's a lot on Liv's revenge tour that applies to Becky Lynch just the same way it would have to Rhea Ripley, right? So they have enough history that what they were planning with this Liv Morgan revenge tour applies to both women really, really well. Becky is as reliable as they come. I think she's one of, if not the best women's wrestlers in the world. So I thought it was really good, and I'm glad Becky was like, actually, I haven't had this in 2 years, was well done. Nia getting massive heat, I actually thought was a blast. I love when heels mess with kids, like, in a well-intending way. It's my favorite thing in the world, and she was doing a lot of that on the side. Love that she said her blue gear was because she was going to SmackDown and getting out of this place, but she had work to do. So I liked all the stuff that happened in that. Liv powerbombing Nia Jax was incredible. That's like a moment that she'll have to take with her. Predictable, because we knew that Nia was going away and what she's involved in on the other brand already, right? So she immediately inserted herself, even though the draft doesn't go into effect until May 6th on the SmackDown brand up Friday. So you knew how this was going to go, but I thought it played out pretty well. No complaints about it. It was predictable, but everything's going to be on a go-home and everything's going to be on a draft episode, and we got both. So
that's true. That's definitely true. All right. We got some super chats on here. So here we go. Elvin Everett here says, is Becky versus Liv going to be at Backlash this weekend? Have they said what that's going to be? They haven't announced that, have they?
I don't think they've announced it, but I would imagine so. I can't imagine they would be building towards something else.
We got Maddie Mania here who says, when do y'all see them running Becky versus Liv? Do they run it at Backlash or later on? They already have a couple of matches for Backlash too, because lately they've been doing like 5 or 6 matches for Backlash, and they have quite a few that I last saw earlier today when I clicked on the card for that. But it has not been announced yet though, like not official.
Yeah, I feel like they'll probably do it. And then I think you'll build to Liv losing her. I think Liv will lose her mind when she loses. And then at SummerSlam, you'll probably get Liv beating Becky.
We got Patrick Moore here who sends in a humper chat saying, I'm interested in seeing how the damage control and Becky vibe will play out. Don't touch my title. It's going to be interesting, right? Because you got damage control who's out there being all besties, having each other's back, and Becky's, you know, riding solo. That's going to be an interesting dynamic.
And the history with Asuka and Becky, we've seen them be so respectful toward each other. Of course, the moment
that Becky
announced her pregnancy. But I'm also very interested to see Becky versus Io and Becky versus Dakota Kai. Sign me up like any day of the week. I would love that.
All right. Well, you know what I loved? And it was the Drew McIntyre CM Punk segment. Basically, CM Punk out here playing cat and mouse with Drew McIntyre. Drew's out here looking for him. CM Punk pops up. He's in the freaking skybox. Drew McIntyre makes his way out there looking for him. He finds an autographed picture of CM Punk, and then CM Punk comes out in the ring, and then he just goes like off on Drew McIntyre. He's telling him that he's this ex-girlfriend that he can't get rid of. He's saying he's only good to tweet. This was so much freaking fun, Kate. Like, it was something so little on the show, but yet it was my favorite part. Like, aside from seeing who got drafted where, and aside from the NXT call-ups and the draft portion of the show, the CM Punk Drew McIntyre stuff, this was definitely my favorite stuff that we got today on Raw. It's been my favorite story, period, in like the last I don't know couple of months, but they've just been working so freaking good. And Drew's face. We need to talk about Drew's face, man. Dude was just out there giving the dirtiest look ever to CM Punk. He's the ultimate hater. This was good stuff. What really stood out for you? How'd you feel about it?
I didn't like the way it was framed. I really liked a lot of what was said. And by that, I mean, if you are calling someone a little bitch from a skybox, you should not be a babyface. That is, I'm picking a fight with you, and I'm doing it in a way that you can't find me or reach me. That is chicken shit heel 101 stuff. That's
but I think MJF, he was making fun of him. Like, he was toying him. Like, I saw it as cat and mouse, as like, I'm outsmarting you. You're a little bitch. I'm outsmarting you. That's the way that I read that.
That's heel behavior to me, though. I don't know.
No, it's like, you're picking a not fight. No, it's like, here's the thing.
From the air. That's heel behavior.
Here's the thing, though, Kate. If Drew McIntyre, he's been talking all this shit, right? So if CM Punk goes out there and calls him a little bitch, to me, it's justified because of all the shit talking that Drew McIntyre had already done. And so because Drew McIntyre has been using Twitter, he's been on the show saying all of these things, right? Running his mouth. Finally, CM Punk's there, and he's like, you know, dangling a piece of cheese in front of his face and, you know, moving it and moving it out. And so to me, I actually kind of thought it worked because it's like, oh, you're sort of trolling the troll who's always talking shit about you.
I understand your perspective, but I disagree. I feel like it's inherently heel to be picking a fight while making it impossible for that person to fight you. I feel like dodging a fight is pretty classic chicken shit heel. But I will say, the promo, I liked a lot of what he said. My thing with Punk is, he's an incredible heel. And I feel like all these little heelish things, I'm like, just turn him heel. Like, I just like Punk working as a heel a lot more. And I don't mind him calling him a little bitch. I just feel like if your face is going to call someone a little bitch, you better be showing up to fight that person. Like, that to me is how faces are supposed to work. But I liked... I think my favorite thing that he said was what he opened with, which was the, I'm going to see if I can do this in a time frame that is shorter than your title reign. So I've got 5 minutes and 46 seconds or whatever. I was like, now we're off to the races.
McAfee keeping the time.
Yeah,
he was updating us, by the way, on the time. He was like, minute and 29. Like,
minute and 33 seconds. Yeah. I assured
that. That was good.
I liked the stuff that he was saying. And I also am okay with there being shades of heel and face, right? Like, one thing I love about Drew is he's a heel, but I totally get where he's coming from. I'm okay with a face that's kind of a dick, too. Like, that's okay. It's the running away from the fight part that I felt like was too heelish. But what he said in the ring is, like, CM Punk wheelhouse. That's for Kate. That's the reason Kate became a wrestling fan. That's why she is this action figure. And of the four action figures she has, two of them are CM Punk. And one of them is the dog collar fight with MJF. He's my dude. I love it when he is on his stuff. So Hearing him on the mic today was really refreshing. Just feels interesting. I feel like they could actually double turn him if Drew has the title at the point that they finally fight each other.
Well, I mean, the crowd loves Drew McIntyre. Like, we just love to hate him. Like, we love him being a hater that eventually I think it's going to eventually it might turn him face. Who the hell knows? We might end up seeing that at some point. But anyways, this is my favorite part of Raw. I was here for this. All right. And let's go ahead and move on. And I want to go ahead and get into the Logan Paul Jey Uso segment. And this was literally some back and forth that we see here. We end up seeing Patrick Mahomes get involved and he ends up giving his Super Bowl rings to Logan Paul. And Logan Paul ends up accidentally knocking out JD McDonagh and all of this, which was hilarious, by the way. And then we ended up seeing the return of Braun Strowman here. Braun Strowman goes out there. I mean, this was just this was sort of nuts. This was very fun though. Patrick Mahomes, Braun Strowman, Logan Paul. This was like a star powered, a very nice crossover segment that we got here. How'd you feel about it?
I actually really liked a lot of what Logan Paul said, and he has not always been for me, but his more recent work has been. I feel like he's found a much more grounded approach and is working from a lot of grounded creative. Like, it's been much, much better than, like, him saying Kevin Owens is fat or whatever. Like, I've much preferred stuff like, you used to be your main event Jey Uso and all you are is like, say, yeet noose. Like, where did all the layers to you go? Because I felt like that was true. Like, I'm getting a little burned out on the yeet stuff with Jey Uso, and he was such a layered character that has become kind of surface level. So I like when he digs into things like that. The Patrick Mahomes stuff, or as the Fightful headline was, Taylor Swift's boyfriend's teammate.
Oh my God, I love that.
Which you as a bona fide Swiftie,
for me, for me, I love that. But for sports fans, I can see how they're going to see that and be like completely disrespected by that, because given all of, you know, Patrick Mahomes' accomplishments and everything, and I'm not like super knowledgeable when it comes to, you know, football, but I know a thing or two, and I know what Patrick Mahomes has done.
So if we know what Patrick Mahomes has done, everybody knows what Patrick Mahomes has done, which means it's fine to call him Taylor Swift's boyfriend's teammate, I think. But very fun incorporation of him here. The Super Bowl rings being brass knucks, I thought was a pretty cute little play. Did get a little chaotic. Nice to see that Braun Strowman is healthy. He was drafted today. That was probably one of the bigger surprises that we got here. He looks great. I'm glad that he's okay.
Huge, man. He looks huge. How'd you get bigger? I didn't even know it was possible.
He ate another Braun Strowman. Like, I don't know what happened, but he,
I'm telling you, looking huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, dude, I even thought it was just me, but then everybody started calling me. I'm like, oh, thank God it wasn't just me, because I noticed it right away. Like,
commentary said it too.
Yes. Like, he looked big, like jacked and shit. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
We got Blake W here, who says, did anyone catch the Easter egg near the start of Raw? Jey was being interviewed backstage and Liv walked out of a dressing room down the hall. And 15 seconds later, Dominic walked out too. Subtle storyline. I didn't catch that. What?
I did catch that. Yeah. I don't know if they're going for a Liv Morgan stole your man thing. But...
Please. Someone mentioned it on one of our Raw post shows not too long ago. Someone mentioned it. And that's all I've wanted ever since. Cause like, give me some, I'm here for some of the trashy storylines. I'm here for it. I don't mind it. So throw that in for me. I'm digging it. I'm interested. Oh, thank goodness. I'm glad this happened. We got RJA. He says, did y'all see Liv and Dom in the interview with Jey? Man, I was clearly just looking at Jey. Dang, I didn't realize I was such a big Jey fan until I realized he was all I was looking at. all right. Well, here we go. I want to go ahead and get into some of the other topics that we didn't touch on really quickly. They're sort of the minor topics here on the show, but we'll still go through them regardless. We did get Gunther versus Xavier Woods. Really fun to see Gunther win via submission. And at one point, Kofi was like, going to throw in the towel for Xavier, but Xavier's like, I can do it. Eventually he can't. And Gunther gets a very strong victory. Any thoughts?
I really, really loved this match, actually. Xavier Woods is so easy to root for and get behind. I recently had heard an old Bret Hart interview, and he was talking about babyface psychology and how on some level you always have to be fighting back. And I loved that, because I think you saw that with Xavier Woods today. He was always fighting back, even if it wasn't physical. There was facial expressions or all these great storytelling things. And the idea that Gunther is even scarier and more upset after losing his title is a story that's continuing to kind of roll down the mountain here. I loved what we got out of that tonight. I loved the knee in the ropes spot, especially, that looked so vicious from him today. I love that Gunther can beat you a million different ways. It makes matches more interesting because it makes you feel like they could end at any point. So him winning by submission was some nasty work today. But Gunther's title reign being a major loss, continuing to push him forward, I think is something that's very important. And I was glad to see that continue today.
I was looking for more draft picks, by the way, and I don't think I've seen any yet on WWE's website. So if there's any coming in, please let me know. I double checked right now and I didn't see any. So just to give a heads up on that. All right. We also had Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed. We've seen this match a couple of times. I don't think this one was the strongest out of the ones we've seen, but really it was just to move forward with Chad Gable coming in and attacking Sami Zayn. But then it ended up backfiring on him because Bronson Reed ends up taking out both of them and standing above them, holding up the Intercontinental Championship. Anything special that stood out to you?
Great bending the ankle lock now, huh? Aren't we looking good? Looking good. Called for. This is very reminiscent of old Kurt Angle, right? Love what we're doing with Chad Gable. It played into the Maxine storyline later. I love when storylines weave in and out like this. It's a really refreshing thing to the program. I loved also Sami Zayn not saying a word, just coming up to kick Gable backstage and just be proud of himself and walk out there. as much as you're like empathizing and rooting for Sami Zayn, you need one of those every once in a while to be like, bam, there's a reason I have the belt. Absolutely adore what we're getting out of this version of Chad Gable. I was of the camp that he needed to be the one to beat Gunther. If you're not going to do it, this is a really, really, really nice alternative.
All right. And speaking of sort of having this, like, I don't know, you mentioned it weaving into the story. So let's go ahead and get into Maxine versus Candice LeRae. There were some things that I actually liked in this. There was one. Has Maxine done the thing where she takes down the straps before? She has, right?
Yeah, she was in like single gear. Yeah.
For some reason, it stood out to me a lot more this week than it normally does. But she does this thing where she gets first, she does like a cartwheel. And so I'm thinking she's going to continue that direction. But no, she does this cartwheel. And then she does, her little like body warm. She does that. And then afterwards, eventually she ends up getting Candace in an ankle lock. And it's kind of funny. But it ends up almost working out for her. But Candace is able to get the victory at the end of the day. I've lost a lot of interest in the Candace LeRae Indy Hartwell story. I don't think they ever gave me enough to honestly be interested in it. And so part of me was looking at this and was kind of going, you know what? I want chaos. Give me Maxine as the victor here. Part of me wanted to see Maxine defeat Candace. And I know that that's not probably something a lot of people wanted to see, but I don't know. I would have found that a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, I think you have to stay the course because it feels very much like Alpha Academy is breaking up. There were hints of, and this is something that I've been calling for a long time, and I know a lot of people have, put the Creed brothers with Chad Gable. 100% Evil Alpha Academy. I'm here for it. Getting rid of the rest of this crew who is fun-loving with this heel Chad Gable is definitely the way to go. Maxine losing is a nice piece of that story. The problem with Candace and Indy is it feels like there was like this tension, and then it just was gone. Like, Candace was like, no, I'll go to any lengths to win, no matter how brutal they are. And Indy was outraged. And then she wasn't. And she was just on the same side as Candace. Like, there was no struggle for Indy Hartwell. She just changed her mind. And it also doesn't feel like they're anywhere near contention for the women's tag titles. So it doesn't feel like they're building toward anything. I like that they're at least getting reps on television. I think Candace LeRae is one of the very best women's wrestlers in the world. Indy Hartwell, a fantastic talent in her own right. So at least they're doing something. And I feel like this was the right call for the story, but you're right in that the story is A, predictable, and B, need something to juice it up. I think there's an inevitable split between Maxine and Ivy, though. I think if you have this Evil Alpha Academy thing, Ivy goes on that side, gets frustrated with Maxine, and it's going a good place. It's just taking a long time to get there, and it's not a very entertaining road on the women's programming side.
We got Apex Caliber here who says, Angle manages Gable with Creed Brothers in a new stable. I mean, I'm always here for Kurt Angle doing anything, but I know he's got a lot going on. So yeah, I definitely agree with you, Kate, on seeing Chad Gable with the Creed Brothers because actually the Creed Brothers still haven't been drafted the last time I checked. I was checking to see if they would get drafted on social media, but still nothing yet. But they were one of the names that were obviously eligible for today's pool, but still have not been drafted.
Good to know. That's actually good to know. I'm sure that'll play into the story that seems to be unfolding.
Yeah, they're crazy. Draft them. All right. So last but not least, we got two more matches to get into. We had Awesome Truth versus Otis and Tozawa. I don't know if you have anything to add to this, really. This was Awesome Truth winning in a fairly quick match.
I hope our Truth gets the help that he needs. He seems very confused out there, but
well, not more confused than Booker T, though.
No, which is alarming for Booker T. Yeah, this was predictable. Continues the storyline that we were just talking about on all fronts. Tozawa and Otis both have impeccable comedic timing, I'll just say. Like, they're really great at the roles that they play. Even if I feel like their ceiling is higher, if this is what they want them to do, they're doing it very well.
And last but not least, we did have the main event between Andrade J Ricochet versus the Judgment Day, with Jay getting the win over and pinning Priest ahead of their singles match at Backlash. Any thoughts on this, Kate? Anything that stood out to you?
It was fun. I was surprised that Ricochet got drafted as high as he did on Friday, and it made me really excited because there are some wrestlers that I say it all the time. I'm like, I would simply choose to make $1 million with that person if I had them on my roster. Ricochet is one of them who has never, in my opinion, really got his due. If I'm a little kid, that guy is a superhero. He can like suplex you in transition and then do insane stuff off the top ropes. Like, go make $1 million with this guy. He's incredible. Give him the push he deserves. Him getting drafted high makes me think there's going to be a renewed focus on him. I really hope that's the case. But this match was perfectly serviceable, knew the way that it was going to go. I'm not a fan of the DQ ending that we got earlier. So even though this was predictable, this went home the way that it probably should have.
I did like the fate, like everything that played out with Jay and with Priest, seeing them have the final stare down, hyping up this match happening at Backlash. All of that was good stuff. And, you know, I've been happy to see Andrade back because he's legitimately one of my favorites. And I feel like he didn't, things didn't really take off for him the way that I was expecting them to take off for him in AEW. And it's sort of been a little bit of a slow start back in WWE. So I hope they start to speed things up with Andrade there. But you're right on Ricochet, though. He's definitely someone that has always felt like there should, I mean, Ricochet has been like the guy that everyone's like, oh, if he was on the Indies, if he was here, if he was there, and all of these things, right? Everyone's always painting these different scenarios for Ricochet, but point blank, he's in WWE and people have been wanting to see them do something with him. And I think ever since he had that feud with Logan Paul, it finally started to feel like, okay, you know, maybe there's going to be something there. And there's been little shades of hope here and there for Ricochet. But we got a couple, a few more super chats that I need to read here, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. This is from Meet Normus, who says the post show is bangs after bangs after bangs. Except I still can't figure these out. I hate them. They're so hard to like maintain, Kate. Like, how do you do it?
Do you have what I have, which is a cowlick also cut into them? Because that's the worst.
I don't know what I have. What I have is like here, where it's like split.
Yeah.
So like if I leave them naturally, like if I don't do the, you know, the thing, they get split like this. And look how dumb that looks, right? That looks embarrassing.
Mine is right in the middle. And here's the other thing with bangs that nobody tells you. Put some respect on the bangs gang here, okay? The bangs bang gang.
Like I already messed them up. You move them once and they're done.
If you want them, you want them to be long enough that they look like cool. Because if you go too short, you look like a weird little Dutch boy. But then they grow out so fast that they're in your eyes like a week later. It's a very difficult thing.
That's where I'm at right now.
Nobody gives us enough credit, Denise.
That's where I'm at. I can't see half of anything. I only see my hair and I have camel eyelashes. So like I got two on two. I got the hair. I got the straw hair with the camel lashes. It's like just... There's a lot happening in this area for me. So I haven't gotten the bangs down, the science down just yet. We got Kim Gray here with a very loving message saying, please give our love to Sean. Of course, we most definitely will. We got Big Moon here who says, Busted Open was great on Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in and for supporting. We had 2LT Cool Photo who says, headed to Sour, have fun, best bang things in the biz. Let's go. Oh, I love this. This is from Ricardo. Lil Stingerson's 1988 says, love for the Bang Bangs gang.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I'm not a gang. I'm finally in a gang after all these years.
We should have just like hair cutting scissors.
Yeah.
Just
That's amazing. That's amazing. What a great way to close out the show. All right, guys. Well, there you go. That was our Raw post show for today. Before we head out, Kate, please let the people know where they can follow you, where they can support you, and anything that you've got that you want them to check out.
Sure. Well, I'm going to try and call Miles Pulaski down on Fightful Select after this because I know he's going to lose his mind over the final testament being drafted back to the main roster. So I'll be over there on Fightful Select after this. But normally you can catch me on Fightful Select with Sour Graps on Mondays, as Sean is normally in this spot. But Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on the main Fightful channel reviewing NXT, ROH, and SmackDown. And then also Wednesdays at the Mark Order podcast talking all things All Elite. Usually we do a little collision review on Saturdays on Select as well. So right here at Fightful, and Miss Kate Fabe on social media.
I love it. All right, guys, you know where to find me, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. That's the place to be for videos, podcasts, you name it. It all goes up there. Thank you guys so much. As always, please do not forget to subscribe here to Fightful and also check out FightfulSelect.com. And we will catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.